Hello, good evening and welcome everyone to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McCure and I will be chairing this meeting. Before we start, just a couple of points. If you have a mobile phone, can you please switch it to silent or off, as the case may be? And can I ask that members of the public refrain from comment from the public gallery? On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from the Law and Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present the applications separately as they are on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I will indicate when they have 1 minute to go. Ward members are entitled to speak up to 5 minutes, and again, I will give 1 minute warning once they've observed 4 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. And so on to the agenda. First item on the agenda is minutes of the 12th of June. Two meetings, one after the other, second one a special meeting. Have I got a proposal to approve those minutes? So second, thank you. I'll put that over there for signing. And do we have any apologies for this evening?
Councillor Fordham substituted by Councillor Hood and Councillor Jones substituted by Councillor James.
Okay, thank you. Any declarations of interest or lobbying, councillors? No? Thank you. Delegated applications will be circulated separately to members. So we then move on to the planning applications. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a reverse parity. I'm going to do the second item on your agenda first, for reasons which will become clear, as I hand over to Planning Officer Richard Wood.
Evening, members. Something that's just come to light as the presenting officer in the last hour, virtually. You'll note that this application from the agenda, there was a previous withdrawn application on which we consulted environmental health and the county archaeologist. You'll see from this report that there is no reference to environmental health. Although we consulted them, they haven't provided comments. And this is particularly relevant in terms of Councillor Thorley's, one of the reasons for calling, referring to impact on residential amenity in terms of potential noise, and also the county archaeologist requiring a watching brief by condition. On environmental health's comments on the previous withdrawn application, they did suggest conditions to control construction activities. Because those matters have not been addressed or included within this report, I don't feel that members have all the facts available to them on this case to make an informed decision. I'm therefore suggesting that members defer the application without debate. Thank you.
Can I have a proposal for that? Proposal, Councillor Roy James, seconded by Councillor Brian Cross. All those in favour of deferring this item? Thank you very much. Thank you. So we then move back to page 4 on your agenda, 6 Sycamore Drive in Hickson.
Thank you, Chair. Hello, everybody. So this application seeks permission for the change of use of a dwelling house at 6 Sycamore Drive, Hickson, for use as a residential care home for up to 3 children aged between 7 and 17 years old. Up to 3 members of care staff would work at the premises on a rota system with 3 changeovers across a 24-hour period. The proposal does not involve any external changes. So on our screens we have the location plan of the site, which shows the extent of the site outlined in red. The site comprises the residential dwelling 6 Sycamore Drive and its associated curtilage. Sycamore Drive is accessed right via a roundabout to the east, with Martin's Way located to the north and the cul-de-sac present to the west. This is an aerial view of the site, which is again outlined in red. As you can see from the image, the site is located within a residential area made up largely of detached dwellings. The site lies within the settlement of Hickson, which is outlined as a key service village within Plumford Stafford Borough. Next, we have the photo plan, which indicates where the following photographs were taken on site. Image 1, taken from Sycamore Drive facing north towards the front of the elevation of the dwelling. Image 2, taken from Sycamore Drive facing east to show the location of the site notice and the roundabout for access. Moving on to plans. Plan number 1 shows the existing and proposed site plan.
Is it possible to expand the images?
Oh, please. Sorry. So this is plan 1, which shows the existing and proposed site plan. So we have a rear garden and parking provision for 3 vehicles on the existing driveway and an area of lawn shown here. To the property frontage. Though, as you can see, there are no changes to the site layout proposed. Plan 2 indicates existing ground floor and first floor plan. As you can see, this is a 4-bedroom house with a integral garage on ground floor. Plan 3 showing existing elevations. As you can see, a conventional brick and tile dwelling house with integral garage shown again here. Then we have proposed floor plans, no changes from existing. Proposed elevations, again, no external changes. In terms of issues, members will note a number of representations from neighbouring residents have been received, and that the main issues raised surround noise, antisocial behaviour and highway safety. Regulatory services, otherwise known as environmental health, raise no concerns with the application in terms of noise or disturbance, stating they have no comment. The police liaison officer does not raise any objection to the proposal and states that noise levels can be expected to be the same as any household with 3 children under the age of 18 years old. Other comments raised by the police liaison officer relate to the management of the care home, a matter which does not fall within planning control. Should issues of antisocial behaviour or noise nuisance arise, this will be dealt with under separate legislation. The Highway Authority raised no objections in terms of highway safety, subject to conditions requiring existing drop curbs to be extended to the full width of the driveway and for the garage to be used solely for the storage of vehicles or cycles as intended. The recommendation is to approve, subject to the conditions listed in the officer report.
Thank you, Hannah. We have a speaker to object and a speaker in support. Mrs. Claire Murdoch, would you please come to the table? Just settle in. Let us know when you're ready. So when you have 2 minutes, I'll let you know you have 1 minute to go.
So the proposed change of use to a children's care home would, as a result of insufficient off-road parking and constant access arrangements, lead to parking issues on Sycamore Drive and potential obstruction with highway safety. It will lead to additional visits from healthcare bodies and regulatory bodies. The drive cannot meet the stated 4 parking spaces required in the application. The property is very close to a mini roundabout and opposite the home of a resident wheelchair user. There are minimal amenities in the village for children, so they rely on their parents to drive them to meet school friends or to go to sports and recreation activities. Public transport from the village is extremely limited, and so the lack of public transport will undoubtedly increase the traffic to and from premises, that above and beyond normal residential use. The lack of any amenities in the village creates an obvious high risk of potential antisocial behaviour due to boredom. This is a quiet, private, rural village estate, and there is significant concern that noise and disruption will occur, given that this is a 24-hour facility. We have no police presence in the village. The application proposes not to alter the existing property in any way. However, Staffordshire Police have made significant recommendations regarding staffing levels and the policies and procedures are in place and physical adjustments are required to the home. They also note that there will be regular routine police visits to the property, and these will be in addition to any unplanned visits that would be expected where issues arise, for instance, if a child goes missing. A recent application for a children's care home in Dudley was rejected. One of the reasons related to the concerns from the police about children being from outside the area and the risk that they will travel to the place that they came from, and this presents bigger issues with children becoming vulnerable to county lines. These concerns must surely apply to this planning application. There appears to be no history of the applicant running a children's care home to date. To date, there is insufficient evidence that demonstrates that the proposed use in this location would meet a direct need for this type of supported accommodation in the borough.
You have 1 minute.
Where indeed in the borough or the country that the children will be coming from, about the needs of the children that will be housed in the home, and a complete omission about how the home will be managed. Whilst it may not form part of any planning, Taylor Wimpey have confirmed that any request to lift the covenant that refers to not running any business from the address will be rejected, and residents would seek legal redress or an injunction should a business be granted with permission with the covenant in place. The applicant has not taken any consultation with the local residents prior to submitting the application, and this demonstrates a failure to recognise the importance of being open and transparent. Absolutely no consideration has been given to the lack of detail in relation to the application. And furthermore, this demonstrates a disregard for giving confidence to the residents of Sycamore Drive in how they will minimise the impact on the residents if this were to be permitted.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you very much. If you could just go back to the chair. Thank you. And we have a supporter, Mr. Rob Duncan. Same, Rob, you have 3 minutes, and I'll let you know when you have 1 minute to go.
Super, thank you, Chair. Good evening, everyone. The application for you, as you've heard, is proposing a change of use of the existing dwelling to a care home for children. It will accommodate up to 3 children who will live at the property as their permanent residence, and no changes are proposed to the exterior of the building. The applicant is a registered care provider who provides tailored support to the children they care for. They aim to provide high quality accommodation for young people in need of support, providing them with therapeutic services and counselling to help support them to develop coping strategies and improve their self-confidence. And as with all premises of this nature, it will be regulated by Ofsted. Referrals to use this service will come from Staffordshire County Council, and the children will be cared for by trained care staff. The children being cared for tend to be those who are in a transitionary process before leading to independence, but they will be supported by 3 members of staff who will operate on a rotary basis and will supervise them at all times, including overnight. The home in this respect will be no different to that of a family home, with carers on hand to oversee the children, much as a parent would do to their own child. No objections have been raised to this proposal by the Regulatory Services section, nor by Staffordshire Police, and we consequently submit that the proposal will not give rise to any residential amenity impacts. The majority of the objections to the application are focused on the perceived impact on highway safety. The existing premises has off-street parking to its frontage for 3 vehicles, with space for a 4th, along with an integral garage, and the proposal meets to adopt a parking standards. The comings and goings associated with the development will be very similar to that of a normal family dwelling, and most importantly, the local highway authority, who has jurisdiction over highway safety matters, has raised no objections to this proposal, and consequently there is no reasonable basis for refusing the application on such grounds.
1 minute to go.
Thank you, Chair. There is, sadly, a very pressing need for this type of facility, and you as an authority are going to see more and more of these applications coming forward. Forecast indicate that almost 100,000 children will be placed into care by 2025, and that's an increase of more than a third in just one decade. And some 64% of those children end up in care, not because they're naughty, but because of abuse and neglect. Staffordshire County Council acknowledges that there's a shortage of quality care places for children, noting that it's got to the stage where councils could be competing against one another to use the most suitable accommodation, which can often result in children being placed many miles from Staffordshire. This continuing increase in children requiring full-time care means there's a growing demand for more children's care home places to support and protect these children, and this proposal will make a valuable contribution to meeting that need. I therefore urge members to be part of the solution and endorse the recommendation of the officers.
Thank you very much. Thank you. If you could go back to the chair, please. Thank you. I invite Ward Member Councillor Sandy Cooper. Councillor Cooper, you have 5 minutes, and I'll let you know when you've used four of those. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Councillors, members. From the outset, I have to suggest that from the applicant's point of view, this has been very poorly managed. There's been little or no prior consultation with the parish council or residents other than this planning application. Maybe a lot of fairly simple groundwork could have done a lot to potentially answer questions from residents and their fears. Notwithstanding this, the core reasons for calling it in are as follows. First of all, the issue of local public transport. As has been just pointed out, this is a significant issue. There's poor public transport in Hixon, with none in the early after the early evening or on Sundays. So if, say, a child from property requires a lift back from, say, Stafford, then it's simply or simply searchable because they can't walk about, then the sole carer in attendance will have to do that, and nobody will support supervising the other children. Secondly, there's concern regarding additional on-street parking in a restricted area. The spaces required, I believe, are underestimated and don't take into account additional visits from, say, regulatory bodies, businesses owner management, maintenance, health visitors, the police, even family contacts. And this will force, inevitably, on-road parking. And I understand an existing resident already opposite this property already needs roadside specialist vehicle access. The committee should also note that this is a particularly narrow section of Sycamore Road, and you have seen from the photographs there's a speed hump there. So refuse collectors and emergency vehicles would have additional problems with curbside parking. Additionally, it should be noted that the junction roundabout is close by, where I understand there have already been a number of accidents. Lack of youth facilities is a third issue. Hixon, like so many of our villages, has little or no youth facilities such as youth clubs or supervised meeting places, other than the playing fields, appropriate in good weather, of course. We don't know the nature or background of those being domiciled in this property, we've not been told. And there is genuine concern that any existing antisocial behaviour may increase or be exacerbated. And the fourth reason is the impact of additional noise. Again, this is a quiet residential neighbourhood to which I can testify, having visited it many times recently. Residents have been given no assurances as to how this facility will be managed from a noise point of view. Although arguably not specific planning issues, I do believe this committee should consider other peripheral issues, such as the fact that it's a residential property and will become 100% business. Business, not council run premises. This sets a precedent for the rest of the estate and other residential areas to be able to do likewise, regardless of any problems with the deed. Policy number 7 of the Hixon Neighbourhood Plan identifies that the provision of high-tech information technology and so on, as well as social enterprise entities, is encouraged within the recognised industrial estates. And this proposal clearly places what must be a social enterprise business within the residential area. I'm concerned that the change of use is from C3 to C2. Does the C2 classification, if granted, automatically include subsets such as C2A, which is a higher security, which would have another significant level of concern to residents? I've asked this at the planning office and I've not had any response on it. If this application is granted, then all permitted development rights should be removed by an appropriate condition, I suggest. And if this application is granted, then the planning officers must ensure recommendations by the police are implemented.
1 minute, Councillor Cooper.
Thank you, Chair. Finally, I would also like the committee to note that a similar application, I've got a reference here, in Barlaston was withdrawn in 2021, I believe as a result of realisation that the area the committee to refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cooper.
Thank you.
You may sit there if you remain there if you want to. Right, open to committee members now. Who wants to go first? Councillor Roy James.
Yeah, can I ask on the legal side, if there is a covenant on this property, where do we stand on this one?
I'm not a property lawyer, but as far as I know, that would be dealt with, that wouldn't come under our remit at all. It would be dealt with between the applicant and...
Yeah, it would fall within, under fine legislation. It would be a separate private matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, covenant restrictions are a private matter, separate to planning control.
It wouldn't have a bearing...
Planning control would deal with it.
No, it's completely separate to planning control.
It shouldn't have a bearing on the determination of the application today.
Wouldn't be a material consideration, I guess.
Okay. If I may, just to get this right, okay, it's not a material planning application. So, who might argue that covenant? Is it the homeowner and the developer? Where would it go?
Yeah, Chair, if members are minded to grant permission tonight, the planning permission may not be able to be implemented because of separate covenant restrictions on the property through third parties. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't alter your consideration of the application, but in practical terms, it may end up that basically the scheme could not go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That is something that the applicant would need to take on themselves. That's nothing to do with the council.
Yeah, thank you. Councillor Marnie Phillips.
Can I just ask then, if the committee was minded to vote in favour of the application, which I'm not obviously suggesting that's going to happen, but does that mean that it gives more credit or credibility to the applicant when they go for a change of use to do with the covenant or no?
Because it's completely separate legislation from planning control, it wouldn't be a material consideration. Similar to when we look at devaluation of property values from proposals, again, that's not a material planning consideration.
Yeah, I don't want to obviously anything that we decide on to create further problems or damage. Thank you.
Councillor Jill Hood.
Thank you, Chairman. It's always difficult, isn't it, when an application like this comes before us. And usually it's the planning aspect that we look at, but I feel tonight that's almost gone out of the window, that we're looking at reasons why these children shouldn't move into this residence. And I looked down a list, unsuitable location for a children's home, concerns surrounding noise and potential increase in crime and antisocial behaviour, nearest GP health practice, poor public transport. Please name me one place in our borough that doesn't have this exact problem. Every single problem that's mentioned here, we all suffer in our wards, our divisions. It was mentioned that the County Council wouldn't be called upon to regulate this. There's a specific panel committee called Corporate Parenting, which actually regulates this type of residence and does regular visits. So I question whoever said that. I'm sorry, I didn't. Yes, they most certainly will be regulated, and by Ofsted as well. These will be three young children between the ages of 7 to 17 years old. It could be that some of these children have been through trauma and need one-to-one help, which we've actually been told by a gentleman this evening. And the very fact that we're saying that there's concern over lack of youth facilities, I believe there's quite a large field where the youngsters meet up. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And, you know, there will be noise. These are children. And as for and I'm sure all of us, well, not all of us, but most of us live somewhere where we've got, I know in my house, I've sometimes got four cars on the drive, and then I've got a car that's parked outside, and we actually learn to get along with people, and that sounds really romantic, doesn't it, in the Bible, but it's quite a quiet area, and I went along and had a look myself. There's traffic, normal traffic that you would experience with people picking up their children. I just can't find anything here to object to. The only thing that I can see which doesn't concern us at all is the police are saying that they have to have a policy on missing or absent children, which I understand 100%. But I cannot find anything to object to, and I will support this application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Andy McGovern.
Yeah, I'd also like to support the application. Looking at it from a very simple point of view, all the objections seem to fall out of the remit of the planning committee, so we wouldn't have a legitimate reason to object. And it's other regulatory bodies that will deal with those other issues. So I don't think we can object to it.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Tony Nixon.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I would agree, but I would also like it supposedly for children between 7 and 17, and I would like that to be put on the conditions if this was to be approved, because there's no reason that if it's left open that children over that age, well, there wouldn't be children, I know, but residents over that age would be included, and I would like to see it put up at 17. So I'd like that range to be included.
Councillor Phillips.
Sorry, just on that point, it's my understanding that when a young person reaches 17, they're then sent out into the world of independence. Not always the case.
Not in Staffordshire.
Right. Okay. I think Councillor Spencer wanted to speak.
Councillor Spencer.
I've just said that there might be a potential issue on parking, just reading some of these things. Without saying this, recommending two members of staff for the night shift. So during handover, there would be potentially four cars there, I suppose, at one time. Obviously, it's hugely excessive, mind, and would potentially, you know, cause issues for the application. But then we also noted about what the police have stated. Are we going to, or if should we pass this, would we be putting all the police recommendations as conditions on the application?
We've recommended that they be addressed by our informative on the planning commission.
Okay, so what do you mean by that?
It's set out at the bottom of the report.
So we'll fall under that.
Can I just ask Mr. Duncan for some clarification? Because it doesn't appear in the report how the referrals are made, but you said in your presentation that it comes through Staffordshire County Council.
Is that correct? Can I just come back to the microphone?
Yes, yes.
Yes, referrals come through the County Council. As I've said, there is a considerable need for this kind of facility. Staffordshire County Council, by their own admission, identify that there is a huge need, so the referrals will come through them to the care home operator, who will assess on a case-by-case basis whether the child is suitable for this particular environment. Again, we're straying into sort of off-state kind of territory here, and the management of the premises. But it is all, there is a recognised process that's gone through, and essentially it's going to be children from Staffordshire living in this property.
And in terms of the management of the accommodation, the applicants don't appear to have any other premises that they have anywhere else in the country.
I don't know if that's so, Chair, but ultimately, whichever premises it is, whoever runs it, it's all governed by Ofsted, all has to be run to a certain standard. If it doesn't qualify, it doesn't go ahead. So there is a separate process to planning that governs how these sites operate. And it's important, obviously, that we don't conflate the need for planning permission with the way in which Ofsted operates.
Okay. Brian Cross. Sorry, Councillor Brian Cross.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is very similar to the one I had in London, which was for a 5-bedroom house, putting 4 children in. And most of the complaints that are listed there were the same from my ward. It's the end house in a cul-de-sac, and just in front there's 4 parking spaces. It's at the hammerhead turning circles for vehicles. There have been times when there's been at least 7 vehicles there blocking hammerhead to such an extent when the rubbish wagons come round to collect the bins, they've had to reverse down the whole way of the cul-de-sac. There's been antisocial behaviour, as was stated by the same the people on this application. There's been broken windows in the house, and most of the concerns that were raised, and at the time I believe the council had recommended non-approval, but the application still went in and got approved. So I do have my doubts about putting this type of establishment in a quiet residential area like this. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Adams.
I think when that application went through, I mentioned at the time we've got a house like this in our road, and it's at the end of the road, it's about 4 or 5 houses away. We don't have any issues at all. There's never been a problem with parking.
You're fortunate then.
We're really fortunate, but I'd be really pleased to see that, you know. And we do see the children from time to time. They seem absolutely fine. You know, I don't think it's always going to be bad news. I don't think it is. We've only got three children. The thing that concerns me really is the covenant. But that hasn't anything to do with our decision today, but it does concern me because, you know, the covenant is on that street, that businesses shouldn't be run from those homes, and this is a business, but that's nothing to do with our decision today, is it?
Yeah. Councillor Phillips?
I really have similar issues to Councillor Spencer's issues that he raised regarding the parking. I mean, it would appear that they're talking about having 3 people there on rotation, so 1 member of staff with the 3 children, from what I could give me if I'm incorrect, that's how I've read it. Yet, the police are advising that there should be a manager there at all times, plus another member of staff. It's also talking about the fact that, and of course there'll be other people coming and going to the premises. But it is talking about ensuring adequate access to all 3 parking spaces as well as the existing garage. If I can see the picture again of the property, is the garage behind one of these parking spaces? So how will they get access at all times to the car parked in that garage if there is a car parked in front of it?
I think we probably need to take a look at our car parking standards for this use class, which is Class C2. So that requires that 1 space per non-resident staff present at peak working times, and then 1 additional space per 3 bed spaces for visitors. So on that basis, looking at the rota system, I would suggest that 3 car parking spaces are required in this case.
Sorry, through you, Chair. I'm assuming you're basing that on the staffing that has been proposed and not staffing that has been advised.
That's correct. Based on the information submitted.
Okay, so what happens if that doesn't turn out to be the case? What happens if it is insisted upon by Ofsted that there is a manager there at all times, there is another member of staff, and obviously you have the one that arrives
to take over, and potentially another agency there as well. Mm-hmm. That's not going to fit in with the policy, is it? So how do we make sure that any residents in that area are protected?
Well, I think that's when the highway authority would step in. If there's issues such as obstruction of the highway, you would expect Staffordshire County Council, under their separate legislation, as a highway authority, to step in if that's the case. But based on the information we've got before us, there's no reason to suggest that it won't comply with our parking standards.
I feel this contradiction going on in this paperwork, and it makes it very difficult to make an informed decision on something that we don't have all the information on. This has nothing to do with children. This has nothing to do with the fact that it's a children's home. This is purely to do with the suggested staffing, the advised staffing, the actual parking spaces, and as I say, if you've got three people, then that garage is absolutely not. There's no access to it at all, so it just doesn't sit well.
I don't know who went first. Was it? Did you notice?
Councillor Spencer.
I'll just follow up what Councillor Spencer was saying there.
Could you put your microphone
up? I'll just follow up what Councillor Spencer was saying there, because that if we were minded to approve this and it's told that the police's recommendations are all going to be taken into consideration and brought forward, it does state on page 13, section 6, that two members of staff are still recommended for the night shift due to welfare issues, missing and so on, which would therefore mean there would be an absolute minimum of four cars there at night during shift changeovers. And then any additional leggage of the staff or police on top of that. So it looks like the police are recommended to, yet the application stage one. So there is a conflict.
Councillor Andy Cooper, for clarity or clarification?
Yes, just clarification on this parking issue. I don't know how many members here actually put their cars in the garage. I don't know how many members here can actually fit their cars in the garage, because this is perhaps an older standard of garage, and most modern vehicles just wouldn't fit in it. So to say that equates to the parking space, I think, is a bit of a misleading concept. So it's down to the spaces in front, and as I said in my presentation, it's not just the staff there, but changeovers, police, health, whoever. Thank you.
Councillor Jill Hood.
Yeah, I'm sticking to planning issues. I'd just like Councillor Cooper to know that I can get my car in my garage. Unfortunately, I can't get it out.
Can you put your microphone on? Joe, put your microphone on.
On page 12, the Highway Authority has commented in detail and says that given the above rota system and three staff members, I'm satisfied with the three proposed car parking spaces being provided. And in the next paragraph, I do not feel the proposed development will have a detrimental impact on the highway, given the above requirement to amend the existing vehicle access, which will create ease of independent access to the driveway with the following conditions below, and goes on to give a recommendation, but no objections.
Thank you. Councillor Peter Jones. If it's a
point of
clarification. Okay, I'll take it then.
Touching on the parking levels that have been mentioned, the three members of staff that I refer to within the supporting statements are the two carers that remain on site and the manager who attends during the daytime. So you have two carers on site at all times, the manager attending during the daytime.
So if I just compare what you've just said to the report, which says there's a sort of 8-hour shift, 3 8-hour shifts.
There is a handover period.
There's a handover period,
three times a day.
So how will there be three members of staff there?
you have two carers on site. At the end of their rota, two will arrive to replace them. And then during the daytime, you also have a manager present on the site.
That's very fast.
Councillor Andy Cooper, and then I'll come to you, Peter Jones.
Apologies, Chair, I was just counting five, I wasn't able to stick in my hand.
Sorry, Councillor Peter Jones.
Yes, sorry, Mr. Chair. I always find these particular planning applications awkward. I mean, we're here looking at an application to have a care home. Children have a care home, which is nice, and we need this care home, don't we? We need caring care homes. We're also going to look at how it will affect the residents of the cul-de-sac that's already there. And if I could have hindsight and look at what it's going to be like in 12 months' time, we could just pop back and have a look, the time machine and have a look. I've never known how it's going to look, and it's always maximum nervous, because what we're talking about is something that might happen or might not happen, and how we can make a decision, because we don't have a time machine, and anything could happen. And we're talking one thing that I've just been listening quietly. That one puts out there's going to be one carer there, and then the next minute there's going to be two there, and somebody will pop in, and then there's going to be the dustman's going to be coming. We've no idea what's going to be happening in this class. All we've got to hope for, I'm sure Karen will agree, is that the kid's going to be looked after. And then I'm sure that Alani, who spoke with us, said, I'll get the impression parents are going to be coming to take the kids to school after what you said. I might be back to my kids, but I've no idea what's going to be happening with these three kids. We're going to hope they're going to be looked after well, that's all. But which way I'm going to vote, I have no idea. I'm totally confused, but sorry, Mr. Chair, just my vagaries against that.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Councillor Scott Spencer.
Yeah, again, I feel obviously for the children coming back to planning matters, which again is this parking issue. There seems to be some confusion as to what's happening because we've got a manager during the day and two additional members of staff. There will then be a handover which will presumably require at least three members of staff to come to replace the three members of staff that are there, which is six cars. And that handover is going to take, I imagine, could be a proper handover, at least half an hour, maybe an hour. Where are these three additional cars going to go? It's not, I think the application is misleading, and I think highways have also been misled. I think they feel that there's only one vehicle there at any one time, two vehicles and a handover. So I feel the application needs to be reviewed again by highways.
Yeah, I was going to say, I must admit, looking at the road system, I did take the impression that it would be one member of staff at any one time, and then there will be a changeover period, so there will be a maximum of two cars on site.
Chair, could I just comment on that? So I'm looking at the planning statement which was submitted with the application, and at point 1.4, I'll just read this out to members. The home will be registered with Ofsted with the children care for by up to three members of staff who will operate on a rota basis as follows, and then there are three times under that. So I think that paragraph could be ambiguous, basically, and as Councillor Spencer said, if you looked at that in terms of there being three carers on site at any one time, in accordance with the car parking standard, that would take up the three spaces. But in addition to that, plus one space for visitors, I do feel that the Highway Authority have not really looked at the way this scheme is being proposed against the car parking standard. So, Councillor Spencer may be correct in that the Highway Authority may have reviewed this in a slightly different way, given how that paragraph is explained. Thank you.
Councillor Phillips.
So, are we able to defer this for this to be re-looked at by the Highways Department, and I think also clarification from the provider as well, because it is incredibly confusing. And just, I think, as Councillor Spencer had said, you know, I worked out saying three people working, maybe the manager might be there whilst the handover's happening, but then there's nobody looking after the children if that's going on.
where, if there's a police officer in attendance, where are they going to park? There is definitely not, from what we understand, an adequate number of parking spaces for this to be a usable scheme for the local people. So I would absolutely propose that this goes back for clarification on some of those points, if that's we're able to do now.
Richard?
In the agreement of the applicant, could I suggest that we ask the applicant to provide an additional statement in terms of clarification on precisely how the premises would be operated in terms of staff turnover. That additional statement is then presented to Highway Authority for further comment. I don't know if the applicant would agree to that.
Councillor Andy McNaughton.
I'm just thinking of going down a bit of a blind alley with all this parking. I mean, I'm not really experienced in change agents, but I would have thought you don't need both members of staff there for the change agent. You only have one. You have a book which you walk down and put things in. I mean, change agents are very common with these kind of care and shift organisations. I'm sure it doesn't make it happen. So, and also people have got capable of moving cars around. Somebody might arrive, lock the three cars in. Somebody wants to go, they're just going out and move the car. I think we ought to rely on people's common sense, personally. And I think we're overcomplicating the whole issue.
Councillor Tony Nixon.
Thank you, Chair. Paragraph 5.2. The roger submitted indicates that three changeover staff members across a 24-hour period, with one staff member present at any one time. So there's only one staff member present at any one time. The three involve the three changeovers over the 24-hour period. That's how I read it. That's about 5.2 on page 9.
Having just taken some legal advice there, there seems to be some ambiguity between what's in the report and what we've heard verbally.
Yeah.
So that and the impacts that might have on the planning issue, on the parking issues. So if you were to propose deferral,
yes, please.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Second
map, okay. So sorry. Proposed by Councillor Ryan Phillips.
Deferred on the grounds that Richard put forward previously, for the applicant to put forward a statement which will be sent to Highways for consultation. Is that what you're deferring it on the basis of?
I'm trying to make this work.
Just say yes.
Yes.
And
it comes back to the plan again.
That's seconded by Councillor Roy James.
Yeah. Through you, Chairman. I just think that when you're talking about proposals as important as this, mm-hmm. we have to have all the facts in front of us, because if we make the wrong decision, then it's going to impact on the lives of everybody, including the children and obviously the applicant and the relationship with the residents.
Okay, so it's been proposed and seconded to defer the application for those grounds of the ambiguity between number of staff there and the parking issues, changeovers, etc. All those who support a deferral, please show. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll go to 7. And against? And abstentions? 2 against and 2 abstentions. Okay, so the application is deferred. We now move on to some appeals on your agenda. Starting at page 28, submitted appeals for decided appeals, 66 Mount Road Stone, notified them as well, and then decided appeals. You see them on page 28. Anyone want to comment? And there's the background to each of the appeals. Any comments? Just a point of information for you as members. There is a scheduled planning meeting for 24th of July, and that will be cancelled because not enough business ready for that meeting. But there is likely to be a special planning meeting in the daytime week commencing the 27th of July. So.
Can you confirm that that's going to be in Stafford and not at Cannock?
Well, I think it's scheduled for here, Jackie.
The special, whatever it is, meeting.
It would be here. It would not, maybe not this building, but it might back in the Cannock room by then. But I don't know if you're getting confused with the fact there's actually a Cannock planning committee at the same time, but obviously that doesn't affect
you
guys.
No, I didn't. It was only because we had to go over to Cannock to do licensing training, and I just wanted to make sure that
it would be in Stafford, as normal.
You know, it's also there when we're together.
But it would be daytime.
Councillor Spencer?
Just one quick look. How are we remaining in this chamber for the foreseeable future?
No.
Elections
have
said today that they're in our rooms until the 24th of July.
So we should be back at home by the 27th or 28th. On that note, thank you very much for your attendance this evening and your participation, and you have 35 minutes to get back home.